Well, when's the last time you looked at your phone? Did you check it while you were listening to me read this out? Maybe checking texts or social media or those ever-persistent work emails. They never seem to stop, do they? And we're always looking at our phones. It seems our whole lives these days are strapped to our phones. And as we attach more and more of ourselves to them, it's our lives that are getting disrupted. Sleep, relationships, even creativity, as we're hearing in studies. And now it seems there's evidence to show that mobile phone use also affects our stress levels by increasing our cortisol levels. What's cortisol? Well, you'll find out in a moment. And you'll find out that the impact that these phones are having on us could have an adverse impact on our health. Associate Professor Sarah Spencer is an NHMRC research fellow and head of the neuroendocrinology of the Obese Brain Research Group at RMIT University, and she joins us now. Professor Spencer, thanks for doing that, by the way.
No problem. Lovely to talk to you.
I'd imagine your line of work, like mine, requires a fair deal of contact out of hours. Do you find you're using your phone more than you'd like to yourself?
Oh, absolutely. It's never very far from my hand.
Moments like this, for example, when you're doing media for the university.
Yeah.
So what do we know then about cortisol? It's a hormone. What does it do?
Well, cortisol is actually really good and really important. If you're stressed, it is really important to be able to react to that thing that's making you stressed. And so what happens when you're walking down the street and you see a great big dog coming towards you, you get this release of adrenaline into your bloodstream, and this increases your heart rate and increases your breathing, and it's part of what we know as the fight or flight response. We run away, and that happens really, really quickly, like within seconds. And cortisol comes along a little bit after this, in a matter of minutes, and it makes sure that your muscles use glucose properly. It also does things like suppresses your appetite, so you're not thinking about feeding, you know, having a snack while you're running away from this dog. And it enhances memory so that the next time you encounter that dog, you know just what to do. So in the short term, cortisol is really great and really important. But if it stays elevated for a really long time, it can kind of backfire and start having some really detrimental effects. And so it can impair memory and increase your appetite again, which can then lead to things like obesity. So cortisol is really good in the short term, but over a long period of time can start being really bad for your health.
So does it always go hand in hand with adrenaline?
In the acute phase response, so acutely you'll get adrenaline release and then you'll get cortisol release. Longer term, if cortisol remains elevated, you probably won't necessarily get adrenaline being elevated at the same time.
So is it in the adrenal glands? Does it come from the same place?
Yeah, it comes from the same place. So the adrenal comes from the adrenal medulla, which is in the middle of the adrenal gland. The cortisol comes from the adrenal cortex, which is in the outside of the adrenal gland, but essentially the same gland.
So what's the body exactly doing? Is it opening, you know, the blood vessels? Are you getting greater flow of blood? Is the heart beating faster? What sort of metabolic changes are taking place?
Yep, all of that. So you get adrenaline driving an increase in heart rate, an increase in blood pressure, increase in respiration rate, so your breathing, and all of that is sort of a really good plan for shunting your blood to your muscles and being ready for running away.
I've got some, I've had some seriously good bollockings from bosses over the years, but I wouldn't suggest that the, you know, the stress of that sort of stuff is akin to sort of being in a cave and being confronted by a wild bear or whatever the we'd normally associate with the flight or fight.
Exactly.
So why is it that little things like, you know, being responsive to our phones when we maybe should be relaxing, how can that have such an adverse impact on our health? You wouldn't think it possible.
This has exactly the same sort of effect. So we understand stress as either a physical stressor, something that is actually going to hurt you, or a psychological stressor, which is something that threatens to hurt you. And they have essentially the same response. They have differences in their responses, but they also have the same core response in terms of adrenaline and cortisol. And obviously, if you're having these stressful responses every day, the prolonged elevation of cortisol can start being bad for you. As I said, it can lead to increased appetite, which can lead to obesity. It can lead to things like depression and atrophy of the parts of the brain that control memory. So it can, in the long term, it can be bad. So if the propensity to check your phone every 5 minutes is making you stressed, then you'll get these elevations of cortisol through the day that you wouldn't normally have.
Now, you've mentioned that there can be, particularly if cortisol is elevated over extended periods of time, there can be long-lasting and adverse consequences of that. What about in the development of children, for example? We're getting increasingly concerned about the amount of screen time our children have and the impact that would have on other things like their sleep patterns, for example. So are they particularly vulnerable to this cortisol boost?
Potentially. So we... I'm not quite sure of the research on mobile phones in children with respect to cortisol, but we know that there are vulnerable periods of development, and one of the big vulnerable periods is when the child is really a young baby, so potentially not so affected by mobile phone use. Another vulnerable period of development is through adolescence, and the brain undergoes a lot of changes through adolescence, and potentially increased if mobile phone use is increasing cortisol, potentially this can have a really adverse effect on that brain development in adolescence.
Now, I've seen some studies too where dopamine levels are raised by the use of these devices. What do we know about dopamine? What does it do?
So I'm less of an expert on dopamine, but we know that dopamine is intrinsically involved in reward processing, and it's elevated when we find something rewarding or something that we like and we want to do it again.
So this is the addictive behaviours that might come from...
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I guess in the context of mobile phone use, it is almost orchestrated to provide these little mini rewards all of the time, and you can hear my phone going off right then.
Yes,
telling me that there's another reward coming along.
Well, we like to think of them as rewards, you less so. So the long-term effects then, if we looked at these behaviours and thought, you know, it's possibly not a great thing based on the medical advice, you know, the limited amount of study that's been done, and I would suspect that there's going to be more, can we modify our behaviours in even small ways that would eliminate the concerns over the elevation of adrenaline and cortisol?
Well, I guess minimising time with your phone and having periods of time away from your phone, if we understand that mobile phone use is increasing cortisol in this sort of spiking pattern through the day, and then reducing those mini increases in cortisol may be helpful.
The production of hormones is not something that you can control with the mind, I would suspect.
Relaxation techniques and distraction techniques are quite good for relieving stress and anxiety. So people find relaxation and meditation and things like that. Other people may find that doing something that is marginally difficult, a little bit challenging, might be effective, not too challenging. Playing sport and keeping active and doing exercise can also reduce stress levels. So just that sort of maintaining sort of a happy, healthy lifestyle. And I was alluding before to the obesity side effects of potentially having these prolonged stressful events. That can also have a countering effect, that obesity can make you more stressed. And so watching your diet and making sure that you're eating in a healthy way can reduce the levels of obesity and then ensure that the obesity-related stress effects are not so prominent.
Can I just expand on that a fraction, because of your work through the Obese Brain Research Group at RMIT? Has mobile phone use been on the radar as being an elevated cause of increasing levels of obesity in our community?
It's not something that I'm familiar with as being on the radar, but we are very well aware that the lifestyles that we all lead are very stressful, and that can potentially be contributing to things like obesity. And stresses are going to be different for every person. So you might find that driving in heavy traffic every day is making you very stressful. Other people might find it relaxing to be driving every day. So stresses are a little bit individualistic, but collectively, if we see that this sort of demand for being attached to your phone all the time is leading to stress and anxiety, then that would have potential long-term effects.
Professor Spencer, good to catch up with you. Thank you so much for that insight.
Thank you very much.